They say second albums are the hardest. And after a listen to Julia Jacklin's second album, Crushing, you'll recognise just how well the tracks fit together and wonder if they were rolled out easily or if it was hard work to make it sound like that. The artist that grew up in the Blue Mountains and discovered that she could use her classically trained voice to create beautifully crafted songs returns to 2SER, new album in hand, to chat to us just about how it was born. Good afternoon, Julia.
Hello.
Thanks for coming back to 2SER.
Oh, no, thank you. It's nice to be back in Sydney.
Yeah, well, yeah. Back in Sydney, indeed, your old hometown.
But I know.
We'll discuss that a bit later because you've got a new album coming out in just a few days.
Yes.
So exciting. It's called Crushing. And like I mentioned in the header, it's the second album. And did you find the pressure? Did you feel that the second album was going to be a harder process or did it happen a whole lot easier?
I feel like everybody else feels this pressure. Like maybe
it's a myth.
Well, I think it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy though, isn't it? Like, it's like, I didn't feel pressure until people kept asking me, do you feel the pressure? And I'm like, should I be feeling the pressure? Like, am I failing at this if I'm not like panicked about this second record? Because I don't know, like I've written songs for a long time and
yeah.
I had pretty bad like classic writer's block because I was on tour for years and it was just weird to try and find how to write on tour. So once the song started coming back, I was just so relieved that I could still do it that I was just like, oh, great. I don't have to like let everyone know at the end of this tour that I've got to go back to the factory because I can't write any songs. So,
but you wrote a lot of these songs while on the road, I believe.
Yeah,
And I do get the feeling some of them sound like travel songs. They sound like ones that you could watch as you're going past the countryside. And is that sort of reflective of how you came up with them?
Probably, yeah. Like I wrote most of them in the car,
yeah,
like looking out the window on tour. And then, yeah, I'd kind of write them, kind of put notes in my phone or in my diary, and then I'd get to sound check. And that's when I'd like, you know, put them to guitar and, you know, whisper them into the mic and try and figure them out in the, you know, brief moment I had on stage. So, yeah.
I get the feeling this album, look, and I don't know which angle to come at this from because it feels like it could be autobiographical, but then it could be also a persona of someone that you've created. Mm. And I'm not quite sure which angle to come at it with because I feel like it's such a personal thing that I almost don't want to ask.
Mm.
But
wow, it doesn't stop a lot of people.
Yeah.
I'm really digging in.
But that's why I'm sort of sensitive about it because, you know, maybe you've put a lot of yourself into this record. Mm. Is that true to say?
Yeah. Definitely, yeah. Definitely. So, yeah, I'm definitely putting myself in the position where I've kind of brought this on myself to be asked personal questions.
Yeah.
But, yeah, definitely some people are not that respectful of the fact that I am a human being who's singing, talking about some pretty personal experiences. But, yeah, it definitely is autobiographical, but, you know, it's not to a T. Like, I'm still a songwriter. I'm not, I'm not just this person who's like tripped over and like dropped my diary and be like, oh no, everyone's reading it. I'm so embarrassed. Like it was a real, you know, it's a craft and I've like definitely written songs that I'm happy to share as well. Cause I think a lot of people are like, oh, you must feel so weird about these going online and everything. I'm like, no, I wrote them. I recorded them. I paid to record them and I am now talking about them. Like this is my job. And so it's totally fine. And it's like, I think, yeah, the experiences as well that I'm singing about are not, they're not crazy weird, are they? Like,
it feels like
pretty
feels like the process people go through in a breakup.
Exactly, you know? Exactly. Yeah. So it's not like I'm singing about an experience that is so incredibly different and personal. And
it's really relevant to a lot of people. And I think that's why it's going to connect with so many people as well.
Yeah, I hope so.
And you do come across as, I think you portray a sense of vulnerability through this album, which is will give people that connection to you and be able to hear those sensitivities in the music and the sound and the way you've recorded it. You can sort of hear every little bit in the background, which I really love.
Yeah.
I guess that was an intentional sort of thing.
Yeah, definitely. I think the thing was coming into the second record, I guess at the initial, if I did feel any pressure, it was like this initial feeling of, okay, like second record has got to be like this elevated version of the first one, you know? And I thought that that meant I needed to have like a more produced sound, you know? I thought, oh, okay, like I'll definitely have to bring in like a string section. Or like, you know, just these things that'll be like, this is my second album. Look at me, I've grown. But I kind of got to the point where I was, you know, putting it together And I'm like, well, I haven't actually grown as a musician, really. I think I've grown as a person, but I'm still playing the same four chords that I played on the first record. You know, like I haven't acquired any new musical skills or production skills. So I still have to make a record that is within my means, within my understanding. And like, I didn't want to bring in a producer that was like adding things to it that I didn't understand or that I couldn't kind of be a part of.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, and because the songs are personal as well, I feel like sometimes if you just cover them too much with like production, it can pull you away from the feeling of it. And I was just listening to a lot of my like Bill Callahan as well leading up to it, and I just love how you can hear kind of just everything that's going on when you put the headphones on, and so you're not kind of being tricked or anything, but there's something that's so direct and beautiful about it. And then his like voice comes in, it's so high in the mix, and it just kind of like hits you in the head. And
yeah, well, cool. I think you've reached that same sort of level in this recording, and it really does hit you when you hear it, especially on headphones, and you can hear all those sounds. It's really great. And I know you recorded this up in the Central Coast, Gary Beer's recording studio up there.
Gary Beer's.
And a beautiful setting up there as well. That sort of would have lent to maybe a feeling of relax. But then I heard you recorded it like all like super early in the middle of the night. So
yeah, everyone was like, oh, it must be so nice being on the coast. I'm like, I don't know, because I was asleep during the day. And we recorded it all at night. It wasn't like a healthy, bright, like experience like my first record, which was New Zealand, and during the day it was all like beautiful and scenic. Like this one was very like just drinking beer and recording until 4 a.m. and then like playing cards It was just like super bro-y now that I think about it. It was like a real bro-y time. I'm definitely not a bro-y person, but it was. And the studio is like, it's a cool studio, but it's weird. Like it's very quite isolated, and you kind of enter it with there's these two big gates that kind of open really slowly, like you're going into prison
for
or something.
Boating, yeah.
And then there's like an Australian flag like flapping in the breeze. Like it feels like you're going into some sort of weird embassy. We called it the compound by the end. It was like, we're leaving the compound. It started to feel a bit claustrophobic, but yeah. I think that's what also informed the sound of the record. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice. Now, I was very lucky to see you perform this album, but I've seen you live many times, and I see this focus that you have on stage. You know, you sort of, you're almost in another state of, you're focusing on whatever you're singing on or wherever you're looking at. How do you get yourself into that? Is that like a, you know, do you have to sort of pull yourself into it, or is it just your own music that's sort of taking you there?
I think just that comes from confidence, because I think early days you're so, apologetic about being on stage. And there's a real tendency to like, you know, anytime there's a silence or like if you have to tune your guitar, it's like you're just going like, oh, God, like I'm just wasting everyone's time. And like even just getting like, I remember early days, like if I felt like I was getting too into my own song, I would feel like I was coming across as really arrogant to people in the audience. So I almost had to like kind of pretend I didn't care or even like my own music, because if I did, I felt like people thought I was a bit uppity or something, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So I think that now comes from just me really liking the music I'm making, and just also knowing that you're doing your band, and you're doing the audience a disservice if you don't take yourself seriously and if you don't like respect what you're doing. And on another level, like I really love singing. Like it's something that I've come around to. Like I think when I was younger, I was a bit, because I did classical training, and it was a bit brutal and weird. And you just kind of got punished a lot for not following the rules and it just seemed very regimented.
Yeah.
So it took me a while to kind of feel free and enjoy the process. And I think now, it's just such a nice thing to be able to do, to sing. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've got to love what you do, and, you know, that's the best part about, you know, you can be on stage and you've got that confidence. So I really like that how you portrayed that. This album, you're going to be touring with a full band, and they're the people that recorded with you, or is it sort of a hodgepodge? Yeah,
I have the same band that I recorded the whole album with doing Australia, New Zealand, and Europe, and then I have another band that I've played with them for 2 years as well. They're from Canada, to do North America and Canada with.
Okay,
so Yeah.
And there is a track where you play piano on this album.
Mm. And it's not me, actually. I'm not playing it. But I will. The plan is to learn it and play it. Yeah.
I just sort of just presumed when I heard it that you were playing as well. But
no.
Have you ever played? Is piano something you've always wanted to learn?
Yeah, but piano is like a dark art to me. I, no matter how many times I've sat at piano, I had a few lessons. I'm still just like, I see no patterns. Like my brain doesn't work in patterns. Like still, I play guitar for years and I'm still like, someone's like, oh, go to the 12th fret. And I'm like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you know, like I can't see that to me. And I always used to feel self-conscious about that. Like I had to pretend that I was more gifted than I am. But yeah, piano, I'm just like, someone will show me a shape and then it just disappears into the, I'm like, yeah, cool. But then, yeah, it just kind of gets lost.
It's all about patterns and numbers and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes. But
I'm in awe of people who can play piano. So
it's a tricky one, I must admit.
The person who's playing that on the record is actually a guy called Dom Rizzo, who was the 17-year-old studio intern.
Oh, wow.
At the Grove. Because I was playing that song on guitar and it just wasn't working and I was just really tired and I was like, I just can't get this right. This sucks. And Burke just was like, hey, Dom, you play piano? Get in there.
That's great.
And so he was like, it's my time to shine.
Yeah.
Because he'd just been like making everyone coffees for like 2 weeks. And then suddenly he gets to play on the record. It was like really fun.
Oh, that's really special for him for sure. Now, you've moved to Melbourne now, which I only just found out recently.
Yeah, sorry.
And it's all very sad for people in Sydney, but, you know, we get it. But Fantastic Furniture had a great album of last year, a big tour. But obviously, you're focusing on solo career now, and I hear the Fern might not be a thing in the future. What's going to happen there?
Oh, it's just, that was just such a fun time for us.
Yeah.
It was like 5 years, but yeah, we went from being 23-year-olds just, you know, running about Sydney, doing lots of different things, and now we're all like, you know, 28, 29.
Yeah.
And everyone in that band has got solo careers and, you know, people that they love that they want to put time into and not do, you know, the music thing all the time, which is like when you're younger, you think, what do you mean? Like music is number one and always will be.
Yeah.
And then just priority shift and yeah. But yeah, I'm so happy we actually got to make that record and play all those shows and yeah, it was a really fun time.
No more Christmas extravaganzas.
I mean, never say never, but we'll see. It's just, yeah, I don't know. You don't want to push something for longer than it is. Fair is enough. Fun. So, and we're all, Liz made a solo record actually in New Zealand where I made my first record.
I'm excited to see. I saw her live last week. She was fantastic. So, excited to see her.
She's putting that out this year. And
Great.
It's all very exciting.
But I did see something about Rattlesnack.
Oh, God.
So, you know, maybe there's something else on the horizon.
Yeah, too. I don't know about Rattlesnack. I'm playing drums, so I don't think we're going to get to the heights of,
Well, you're playing drums in the Pressure to Party video clip, which was a very cool clip. If anyone's not seen it yet, jump online, check it out. Body Type feature in that video clip as well.
Love Body Type.
And you have a way in your video clips of making sort of everyday things look sort of really fascinating and you know, beautiful.
Mm.
And I love that.
Thank you.
Yeah, but I love that I think that's a sort of almost a stylistic thing or like a aesthetic that you've put on yourself. Is that a intentional thing? Do you sort of go for that?
Maybe. Yeah. I think that's part of growing up, isn't it, though? Like when you're younger, you just think everything is lame. I don't know, like especially the Blue Mountains. Like I've filmed most of my music videos in the Blue Mountains or just in these areas of the world, like the Body video clip is out in the Hay Plain. And I remember my mum used to always go on about the Hay Plain when I was a kid, being like, it's so beautiful. It's so like atmospheric. And then I'd drive through it as a kid and be like, this is the most boring place on the planet. Like nothing is here. What are you talking about, mum? You're crazy. And then you get older and you're like, this is the most beautiful place ever. And you're like, oh, mum, you're right. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
So I think maybe a lot of the time, this is some sort of like, I don't know, maybe note to my younger self or to like, just try and pay respects to all of the things that I really disregarded when I was a kid and try and like give them time to shine. Things that you don't, you know, really appreciate when you're younger. Yeah.
That's it. Well, sometimes their parents were right, I guess.
Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of the time, I'm realizing.
Now, we're lucky enough to get a live song from you today.
Yes.
And we're going to play your most recent single, Pressure to Party. Mm-hmm. It is not about partying. No. But it's a great song. And I guess you usually play this with a full band, but we're going to get just you and the guitar today. Anything you wanted to say about this song?
It's just a song about the conflicting nature of breakup advice that you get after a breakup. That is always like really confusing and makes you feel even more terrible than you did before. Everybody tells you what you should be feeling
Stay
or doing.
Stay in, go out. Yeah, I get it.
So,
well, here we go. Pressure to Party from Julia Jacqueline. Thank you so much for joining us on 2SER.
Thank you.
Pressure to party, gonna stay in. Nothing good can come from me drinking. I would run shoes off straight back to you. I know where you live, I used to live there too. Pressure to feel fine after the fact. Out on the dance floor with my body back. Meeting a stranger, touching his face. I don't want anyone to ever take your place. Pressure to go strike out on your own. Pressure to learn from being alone. Pressure to not leave it for too long. Before you find another heart where you belong. Pressure to come up with conversation that makes the family fine with my isolation. I know I've locked myself in my room.